Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Are you unsuccessful and with few friends? Impress passers-by with the all-new Guitar Nerds t-shirt. Head over to guitarnerds.net/shop and buy yourself one of the all-new official Guitar Nerds t-shirt. Nerds!
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joining me this evening, we have Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Why, hello.
All four of us in the same room again, 2 weeks in a row.
Well, unbelievable.
Kind of.
Holy moly.
Well, yeah, we're not all in the same room, but all four of us are on the podcast. How's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, it's all right.
Everyone had a good week?
Yes.
Good. Yeah. Jay's just eating, by the way. That's not him. He's not ignoring you, dear listeners.
No,
he's just eating
some bread and hummus.
Good. He's choosing the 1 hour a week that he has to dedicate to talking.
Yeah, to eat some food.
My entire job is talking.
Yeah, even like, it would have been much quicker to not eat.
Yeah.
Then we could have done the podcast.
Yeah.
Then you can eat afterwards.
That isn't quicker.
That's what I'm doing.
For me to eat now. What are you talking about? You had some of the stuff that I brought around.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway, enough of this. Thanks for your Patreon donations, by the way. Help Jay buy some bread and hummus. How's everyone's week? What's everyone been up to? Matt Knight.
I have got a DD500, which
do you?
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, I haven't actually bought one. I've got one on. I've got the prototype on loan at the moment, and I've just been messing around with it and kind of really only scratched the surface. I haven't kind of super in depth. Oh no, I've scratched it.
Matt,
I've scratched my name into it to the top, so they know that I've tried it.
For the uninitiated, Matt, this is the Boss DD500, a kind of expansive digital delay that was announced a couple months ago.
So like the first new delay pedal they've had, well actually no, I suppose the Terra Echo, but it's the kind of upgrade to the DD20, so the first in kind of these new, I'd imagine they're going to do some more double pedals, but it's kind of like the Strymon timeline made by Boss in effect, in a sense that it does multiple delays, stereo in and out, MIDI, so all the features that kind of everyone expects from a delay pedal now. And it sounds amazing, like seriously impressed. The actual bit ratio is higher than a timeline, so in theory, the actual sound quality is processed better and is a much higher quality than the Strymon timeline. So it's in fact the highest quality delay pedal out on the market, I think.
Is it? In terms of the spec, it's like the best quality out of anything.
Yeah.
Really?
It's nuts. Yeah, it's 32-bit processing and the timeline's only 24. So it's got a better chip in it than anything else, especially, well, the timeline, and then obviously you've got the time factor from Eventide, but that's even older than the timeline. So yeah, they haven't improved those since they came out, so in theory this is the kind of top of the run, really.
How's the like user interface? Because on the Strymon it's actually, you know, it's got that big screen on there, it's quite usable. What's the DD5 shaking out like?
Yeah, it's just as easy to use, because I think they've designed it very similar to the way they've designed the ES8, so it's really kind of quick to go through all the panels. It's actually got a better digital display than the timeline. The timeline is fairly limited. The DD500's got like a better LCD display. It works really well with MIDI, so when you mix it with the ES8, it works like amazingly well. And then the tap control button, which you've got on the side, so you've got A, B, and then tap controls, wicked, because you can effectively set it to do pretty much anything in the looper. So, you know, like speed up the delay time, or, you know, go to infinite repeats, or, you know, they've got the old features like warp and twist, where it like sped up the delay time, but also gave you infinite repeats. So all those sort of things. You've got the Terra Echo built into it, great tape delays. So it's kind of a case of A-B-ing it with the timeline and
Have you been in a position to A-B them side by side?
I've got my pedal board set up with like an external loop, so if I want to A-B pedals, I can. But I thought I'd just get to grips with it first, and then I thought what I'd try and do is maybe set the same setting on each one and then see what sounds better.
Is there any USB connectivity? Can you design patches on a computer?
There is USB. I haven't plugged it in yet, and I'm not 100% whether it works with Tone Central or not. Now, I'd imagine it probably does, or if it doesn't, it may well do in the future, because pretty much everything from Boss now is going that way. I've yet to kind of go that far into it, but so far, just from kind of going through a few of the modes, it sounds amazing. It's really good. Like things like the Terra Echo, like I said, built in there. The shimmer's really nice. The slow attack's really good, like the swell that you can get on it. So it's really good for ambient delays, which is what the timeline is kind of known for as well.
And how about the footprint of it? Is it bigger or smaller than a timeline?
It's about the same size.
Okay.
I get the feeling that Boss are kind of, you know, really looking at what their competitors are doing and kind of, you know, building something sort of maybe outside their comfort zone, especially in terms of the design.
Yeah.
And, you know, ES8, they've looked at other sort of popular looper switching units. And I think with this one, they've kind of looked to obvious nods to kind of the popular delay units you see out there, like the timeline.
Are we going to get any video content out of you, Matt?
I think so. I think I will try and do some, maybe I'll just do kind of a run through. I'll plug it into my ES8 and then set some patches up and do something crazy with that. And maybe I'll try and do an A-B video as well.
What about something like top 5 tips for using the Boss DD500?
Yeah, I could do that. I could certainly do that.
I think that'd be cool, because there'll be plenty of like just straight demos out there. So why not share your kind of hidden things that you found about it to help people get like different sounds?
Yeah, I can do that. It's kind of like with the timeline, how you can get like a really good chorus and flanger out of it that's kind of like hidden in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can actually turn it into a distortion pedal somewhat as well. With
how?
Because you've got a lo-fi mode on there with bits up like a bit crusher. You can basically just like completely put it down to like one bit. So it sounds like really, really distorted. And then you just like turn down... you've got like loads of different filter effects in there, so you can get some kind of weird like lo-fi fuzz out of it, which is quite cool.
Yeah. I just heard something's just dawned on me, that there's probably not going to be any more big product releases now until Gear of the Year.
Ooh. Yeah, probably not.
So do we think DD500 could be on that list?
Yeah, it would definitely
quite possibly.
Well, but I mean, how big is the list? It normally starts off with like 30 things, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, we'll have to whittle it down.
It'll definitely make top 5, I reckon, DD500.
I want to do some more like listener voting and stuff this year, so
yeah,
that'd be cool. That'd be really good. Well, that's good. Good that you've actually managed to get some time with it, because these things, like, before they hit the shelves, usually it's just you get 10 minutes to have a play around and then suddenly they're available. So
yeah, I mean, that's the thing, stuff kind of makes it into the store so quickly, and you just, yeah, you literally never get time to plug it in. And actually, one thing that was new that I realized you guys talked about a couple of weeks ago was the new Ernie Ball Music Man, the Saint Vincent.
Oh yes.
It's like, I wanted to be involved in that conversation because that guitar is awesome.
Well, you played one yet?
No, I really want to though.
Amazing. What'd you make of it in terms of design and features and stuff?
It is so cool. I definitely play that.
It seems like it'd be right up your street. Cool. Yeah. I'm looking forward to those. Jay Cross, what have you been up to?
Excuse me. I've been having a bit of a rethink recently. I think I'm gonna like do a Matt Knight and sell everything and start again.
Okay.
I just.
But you have like your ultimate of everything.
I know.
You have a real Space Echo.
I'm not selling that, obviously.
But all your Fenders are white.
Yeah, I'm not selling the Tele or the P bass. So not everything, but
so, well,
I think
this
I'm going to sell
anything. So
well, I think I'm going to sell.
You'd be surprised. I went around there the other day. There's still quite a lot of stuff.
I think I'm going to sell a couple of my amps and get something smaller that I can actually play at home properly.
Are you going to buy a Blues Junior?
I think I might even go a little bit smaller than that.
A Champ?
No, I think I'm going to get a Blackstar ID Core 10.
Really?
Yeah. I really like them.
Okay.
I really, really like them.
The thing that will concern me about those is how do pedals work in the front end?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
I really like them. I just
think something like that, you're probably not getting the best out of your harmonic percolator running that into the front end.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That is very, very true. But the problem is at the moment, because of where I live, because it's, you know, very, very thin walls, I live on the second story of a block of flats. There's a couple of floors above me. I can't turn anything up.
Yeah.
My floors are all laminate. Like, I can't turn anything up.
Yeah, you can't really have the AC30 full whack.
Well,
can
I can't even have the AC30
one whack.
So I think I'm gonna. I don't know. I really don't want to sell it, but I'm really, really skint at the moment. I just bought a sofa.
Okay.
And an armchair.
Welcome to your nearly 30s.
Yeah, and I just. Also, the thing is like you say, I mean, I do sort of have the ultimate of what I've got, and I think I've got a little bit comfortable with it. Like, I've got my Les Paul Traditional, which I really, really love, but if I've got the Les Paul Traditional, am I ever really going to push to get a 58, which is what I really want? It's like, well, probably not, because I've got the Les Paul Traditional, which I really love. Maybe if I sell the Les Paul Traditional and... I don't know, then I've got like the incentive to be out there and be like, right.
This is ridiculous. You're actually now in a position where you want to get gas again.
Yeah, you want to want things.
Yeah.
You want your acquisition syndrome.
Yeah.
And you don't have it
because I've got all of the
everything.
Things that I really, really like.
So you're going to sell one of the things that you really, really like so you can buy one again.
Yeah.
I think that's what like gas is, isn't it? Isn't it like getting to a point... And then being like, yeah, this is cool, I've got everything I want. And then being like, oh, no, actually, I want something else.
I don't know. I mean, I wish that I could turn my AC30 up because it sounds amazing.
Get a micro crush.
Why don't you get an isolation box and stick it in that?
Because it's too big.
Get an
too big for the isolation box.
Isolation box and then a pair of headphones. I've got a pocket pod somewhere if you want it.
Maybe. But no, I did have everything that I've really, really wanted, and it was wicked, and it is wicked, but I can't use any of it. I can't use any of it at the moment because it's all too loud.
Just buy a bigger house.
Well, I'm locked into a contract.
Okay.
I can't do that. And I also think it would be quite fun to sort of start again.
Okay. I really enjoyed that process of going from having an ME80 to being like, right, I've got nothing. Except to TU3 because that's always there.
It's like the story of Noah.
Yeah, the flood came and washed away all my pedals.
Well, I mean, this has kind of been I've kind of been spurred on from this by my supersonic. As we've been talking about over the last few weeks or whatever, I tend to like have this all this cool gear.
You tend to lend.
I just lend it out to people, and I lent my supersonic to a friend's band who took it on tour, and they live in Aberdeen, and when they finished the tour they shipped it back to me, but when they shipped it back to me it got damaged in transit, and by damaged I mean it like split in half in transit. So I don't have the supersonic anymore, and I'm kind of thinking, well, if I don't have that, maybe I'll get a different amp. But if I'm getting a different amp for there, maybe I'll change that and change that as well and change that. And I don't know, it's kind of exciting to maybe sort of start again, because I really want a 58. So maybe if I sell like both of the like the cool Les Paul I've got and the cool AC30 I've got, I've sort of nearly got the money.
You've still got a junior, right? Or a special?
I've got a junior, well,
double
a junior
cut
special,
junior.
Double
yeah,
cut
yeah.
junior special, which isn't really worth anything. So
no.
I'm definitely not going to sell that.
And so I think I'll just, yeah, sell everything and maybe buy 58. Or maybe buy, if anyone knows, anyone who's got like an original first production year, like SG Junior or Les Paul Junior or anything like that, you know, maybe.
Anyone got anything like that?
Well, Jay, because I am also entering my 30s and need to buy a house, perhaps
we can come to some sort of arrangement.
There's no underhanded trading on the podcast, please. None of this going on.
But yeah, so that's kind of what I've been up to. I've sort of been looking at the gear that I've got and going, I've been doing this with a lot of stuff, like a load of my records and stuff, loads of stuff where I've been like, look, I'm never going to sell this. I sort of went through, like, I haven't listened to, I don't think, since I've lived in my house, which is about 4 months, I don't think I've listened to a single 7-inch, and I've probably got 1,000 7-inches. Maybe not 1,000 7-inches, but I've got at least, I've got a lot of 7-inches in the hundreds, and I haven't listened to any of them in ages. So I'm just going to flog them all.
Yeah,
not all of them,
you should,
but a lot of them.
You should,
and then buy some cool guitar stuff.
I just did a Music Magpie clear out, and it was very, very cathartic.
I tell you what, I've sort of, another thing I've been kind of inspired by is I watched that documentary, I Dream of Wires, which is a documentary about modular and analog synths, and like sort of the history of it and like the difference between like the East Coast and the West Coast philosophy behind everything. And I think I want to buy an Arp Odyssey, or maybe just an MS-20. Maybe, do you see how cheap MS-20s are at the moment?
With the new ones.
The Korg
Mini, MS-20.
Yeah,
MS-20 Mini.
They're like £300.
Yeah, get one. They look absolutely
incredible.
They do, incredible.
And I think I might get that and play that into my Space Echo.
Into?
Something that I can plug into the computer, like a ID Core.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm really into like.
So you're going to sell all your guitars and buy a Korg MS-20
not
Mini?
Not all my guitars, just like a couple of them.
Okay.
I'm really into the idea of just like change.
I'm interested to see what this project turns up.
I mean, I'm going to get bored after 6 months and just 100. Be really annoyed that I sold my Les Paul.
Every single time I've bought a keyboard, I've sold it within 6 months.
It's not a keyboard though, is it, the MS-20?
Yes,
it
is.
It's a synth.
I was going to buy one recently. I was also going to get one of those Yamaha Reface mini organs.
Oh, they're
organs.
Awesome.
Yeah.
They are awesome.
They do a little organ, which is really good. So,
yeah.
But yeah, you should definitely get an MS-20.
I think I'm going to get an MS-20. What I really want is the Arp Odyssey, which is something that Matt sort of turned me on to.
It's much better. I think the problem I've got with the MS-20 are the keys are too small and too light.
You need to mash your fingers into it.
Yeah. My fingers are too fat, so they kind of just
mash the keypad now.
And because it's monophonic, you kind of just don't get anything.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. But I don't know, because with the MS-20, did you have an MS-20, Matty?
No.
But you don't need to use the keyboard in order to get the sounds, do you?
No, there is like a it's the same as the Arp Odyssey. You can basically get it to sort of not self oscillate, but you can turn the keybed off, and then it just gives you one consistent oscillator, like sine wave, that you can then mess around with from that.
Yeah, see, that's I think what I'm into. But like, I'd want it. The problem is that I want it to be something that I could work into some sort of, I don't know, like a some sort of band setting. But I also don't know how to play piano at all. I can play chopsticks. That's literally all I can play on a piano.
Yeah.
I think you'll be fine if you buy an MS-20. Or you could get a Micro-Korg that would do a similar job.
Get a Micro-Korg. I was thinking about getting a Micro-Korg, because they're only like £30, though, aren't they, Micro-Korg?
Well, if you get one secondhand, you're £50, something like that.
Yeah.
That's where you start. Everyone's had a Micro-Korg. That's where you start.
I've had one.
You work your way
up. Have you had one, Matt?
It's like the Affinity Tele. Yeah, I've had one.
Joe?
No, I bucked the trend and bought an SH-201.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I did have one of them as well. I think I've had about 7 since, I think, since I started playing guitar.
Probably not everyone knows that about you. It's like, not only have you bought and sold more pedals than most people have ever seen, you've probably bought and sold more synths than most people have ever seen.
Yeah, I've owned a lot of synthesizer stuff as well.
Crazy. Joe Branton, you've got some news about some stuff you've been doing this week. But firstly, do you want to explain why you're uncharacteristically quiet?
Am I quiet? Am I being quiet? I thought I was doing quite well.
No, you are doing... I mean, I know the circumstances, so yeah, you're doing very well.
I was playing... I had to play a gig in Liverpool last night, and we finished at 4, so we left then.
And you finished at 4?
Yeah, well, because, you know, we were partying and that.
Right, okay.
So,
I feel sorry for the person who was the designated driver.
Well, it was the other two. So I was the only one.
You were partying by yourself till 4 in the morning
with the other bands, and they were fine with this. This was part of the agreement. But yeah, so
I thought you didn't drink anymore, and know that for a fact that definitely in the last
it was the
72
last
hours you've drunk twice.
I know. I had to eat an entire pack of Rennies on the way home because my heartburn was so bad. But yeah, that was the last one. That was the last one. But yeah, so I got back just in time to go to work. So I've come straight from... I got back, yeah, at around 8. So worked until 5:30, and now I'm here. So yeah,
I've done a similar thing in the past where we played in Blackpool, and even though we left early, I got home 20 minutes before I had to leave for work. So I had 20 minutes of sleep and then left for work.
I think you came to mine after that. I think you went straight to my house after
terrible.
That, didn't you?
I felt absolutely terrible. So,
I'm like, feeling all right, though.
No, you're doing fine.
Yeah,
I just wanted people to know what you've been up to, basically. But both of you have a bit of news, because the establishment in which you work hosted an event this week, didn't it, that was quite interesting and quite relevant to this podcast's interests.
Yeah.
What's been going on?
Well, me and Jay hosted a clinic, an in-store clinic with Juan Alderet, the bass player from the Mars Volta and Racer X. He's been doing...
Is he in Racer X?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He went to school with Paul Gilbert. That was why they were...
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he did first, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That was his first big band.
Oh, I did not know
and
that.
And then he joined the Scream, I think they were called. He was in a punk rock band after that.
With Dave Grohl. Scream from Washington.
I don't know. But so he's been in the UK. He was doing a tour for Earthquaker Devices pedals, which I have since found out in the States are the biggest boutique pedal manufacturer. Over here, hardly making any inroads. So he came over here to do clinics in all of the Earthquaker shops, which turned out to be 3. So he just did 3.
it was great. He was really, really lovely.
I'm so gutted I couldn't be there,
mate. It was so good. He was really, really lovely. Super knowledgeable, obviously. And just considering all the like cool stuff that he's done, really like super humble. Really cool. And I didn't know the big thing that I found out was so Earthquaker Devices. The guy Jamie Stillman, who started the company, he used to play in like a bunch of 90s emo bands.
It's right up your street, basically.
And, Juan was like, "Oh yeah, he played in this band, Party of Helicopters," and I was like, "What? I can't believe I didn't know that." And he also like I did a bit of like reading on it. He played in this band, Harriet the Spy, who I absolutely love. And yeah, it's just I feel like my two worlds have collided because this
what like, my world and your world.
No, The cool guitar stuff that I'm into, and also the cool like obscure punk rock that I'm into, have just sort of blown up into one evening. It was really, really good. It was so interesting, like watching him like work through all the pedals, and like at one point when he was playing the Arpanoid, because he was like, "Look, if anyone's got any questions, just interrupt. Just like put your hand up or just yell out, just interrupt, and we'll run with it like that." And he played the Arpanoid, and someone went like, "Oh, what happens if you turn the speed all the way down?" And he was like, "Oh, I don't know, never done that. Just gone faster. Let's turn it down." And we turned it all the way down, and everyone in the room went, "Whoa."
Nice.
And he was like, "Oh, that sounded amazing. I've never done that before. Yeah, wicked." And like two or three people bought an Arpanoid off the back of just turning it down.
It sounds like one of the nerdiest nights there could have possibly been.
It was
super nerdy.
I've seen pictures and people just like leaning over his pedal board.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's basically it. Yeah.
Or should I say leering over his pedal board.
It was great though. It was it was a really, really nice evening, and it was cool because it was a Friday night And I mean, you've got to be really dedicated to the, like, to nerdy pedals to want to spend your Friday evening in a sweaty guitar shop looking at pedals. And so the people that, therefore, the people that were there were really cool. Like, it was a really, really good vibe. And yeah, man, like, Earthquake was so good. Like, I've spent time with a few of them, but just sort of, I was sort of in charge because, you know.
I was so flappy.
So I just sort of took charge and I was having to walk around and do a load of stuff. But in the, you know, I spent probably half the time around just watching it. And, oh man, some of the sounds that were coming out of those pedals. Astonishing.
I've not spent that much time with them either, and they sound
astonishing.
Super interesting.
Yeah.
I wish I could have been there.
I was proper
starstruck.
Yeah, I was a little bit fanboy. That's why Jay had to do so much on the actual night.
You were just melted, Jay, like just, Alex Mack.
I was just hanging out with Juan. Well, I took him to like the big room of pedals that we have, and there was loads of stuff that he hadn't seen before, stuff like the jam pedals. And of course, you actually brought down a Bigfoot.
Yeah, you guys were out of King Fuzzes, so I brought down one that we've got here. What did you think of it?
It didn't really work for bass, which I think we all knew, really.
Yeah.
But he was really, really impressed with just how much gain there is
on
the pedal. It is ridiculous. So, yeah, he loved it for that, and he could totally see why it's an amazing pedal for guitarists. But just not for bass players. But yeah, he tried out loads of stuff. That was cool. I went for a curry with him afterwards and got drunk as well, which was good. Jay didn't join us for that, which was a shame.
I was so tired. I had a really busy week. So
when you say it was a shame, you know that he would have just talked about emo.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
With Juan
and instead, I just got to talk to him about Mars Volta Records the whole time.
I mean, I'm not sorry that I missed that.
Yeah, okay.
The reason I didn't come down is I actually had a band practice.
Yeah.
First time, I think, in between 9 and 10 months.
Really?
Yeah, got to rock the Red P bass for the first time in ages. No revelations on my end. Mark bass head, Ampeg cab, does the business. But what I did find out, and what I've kind of known for ages, Strat with a humbucker is the best punk rock guitar.
Is that what he's using?
Yeah.
What humbucker is it?
It's a JB Junior.
Cool.
It's the best. Because for punk, you don't want loads of like chunky bottom end. You just want like, because that's what the bass does. The bass is filling all of that out. Because, you know, I never go above fifth fret. So.
Well, you go to the seventh sometimes.
Well, sometimes the seventh, but try not to. The Strat just fills everything out. Like, totally cuts through the mix. It's such a good guitar for punk. And that JB sounded amazing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, because this is something that, I mean, you've spoken about it now, so rather than us talk about it in private, I might as well bring it up. So I'm going to be playing guitar in Mark's band for this show that they're playing, the one show of the year that the old boys are doing.
The old boys club.
Do you think I should play my telly? Or the Les Paul Junior.
Les Paul Junior.
Yeah, I mean that's.
I think a single coil telly is.
It's going to be too much.
Some people would dispute this, but I would say that's not your ideal guitar for punk. I think you want a Strat with a humbucker or a Les Paul with a P90.
Well, I've wanted to play the Les Paul, so I think I'll play the Les Paul. I've never played that live, so I think I'm going to play the Les Paul.
Yeah, it looks cool. I can't even remember what the date of the gig is. 2nd of October, I think.
I don't know. You haven't even sent me the set list. I don't know what songs I'm playing.
Yeah, 2nd of October, somewhere in Brighton, if you want to come down and see us do a gig. But we'll talk about that more. One thing we should talk about while we're shilling things is that we finally made the Guitar Nerds t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guitarnerds.net/shop. You can find a rather familiar design skewed to our own benefit.
We sort of don't know how popular the idea of us doing a t-shirt is, so we've made it like as cheap as we can, basically.
Yeah. £10.
£10. Is that including postage?
That is not including postage.
£12.50 or something.
I think it's £1.50 to UK and
there you go.
It's like £3.50 to the States or something like that. I don't know, but it's all on the side.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
All right. Yeah, guitarnerds.net/shop. If you like guitars and you're a nerd and you like Run DMC, we might have the right t-shirt for you. but yeah, it's cool. Some people have bought them already, which, you know, thanks very much. But yeah, we should say it on the podcast that we've actually done a shirt. It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think,
yeah.
Honestly, me and Mark went to a sort of kind of stand up show earlier in the week.
Yeah,
kind of, and it was with the radio DJ Ian Lee, who wasn't really stand up. It kind of was stand up.
He just sort of played clips from the radio and went, "That was rubbish, wasn't it?"
Yeah, it was really good. It was really funny, but it wasn't really stand up. But he was like, "Oh yeah, for the first time ever, I've got t-shirts." So I don't know, it's a bit weird with a t-shirt that just says your name on, so I feel a bit uncomfortable about it. But if you want to buy one, like, yeah, just come and speak to me afterwards. And me and Mark both thought, oh yeah, I might buy an Ian Lee t-shirt. And yeah, then we got there and they were green.
Definitely not buying a green t-shirt.
Why, what's wrong with a green t-shirt?
That's, it's green, isn't it?
I like green, it's a really good colour.
I don't know.
It's my second favourite colour next to purple.
Like quite a bright green.
Yeah, it was like
kind of a Slimer green.
Oh yeah, that's the best sort.
I had an Aquabats
toxic
t-shirt.
Toxic green.
The only green shirt I've ever had was an Aquabats t-shirt in extra large, which I got when I was 15. It was really big on me.
I bet.
But no, this t-shirt.
Luckily for you,
black.
The Guitar Nerd shirt is in black, and it comes in small, medium, large, or extra large. Head over to the site, or they're up on the Facebook group as well. You can find them there. I just want to see a load of people wearing them. Take a picture with a big Guitar Nerd.
It'll last
shirt
longer.
It will last longer. Should we do some news?
We should. Oh, one more thing, though.
Okay.
Whilst back on the whole Juan event thing.
Yes.
When we went out with him afterwards, we started chatting a lot about Guitar Nerds because he runs pedalsandeffects.com, which is a massive site for,
yep,
surprisingly, pedals and effects, where he does...
Really? Is that what's on there?
It's crazy. Where he does like reviews and interviews and demos and stuff like that. And so he does that with Nick Reinhardt as well, who's the guitarist from Terra Melos. And they're going to... I need to hook up with him and sort it out, but they're going to come on the Guitar Nerds podcast as well, and we're going to do a big sort of Skype podcast with both of them and all of us.
That sounds cool.
Which will probably be the most amount of people we've ever had on a podcast.
Six people might be a bit much. Maybe, I mean, it kind of, if we're already doing Skype, maybe it makes sense if Matt's not there, and it's probably best if it's just the like two out of the three of us who are here. Maybe me and Mark should do it with the two fellas. What do you think?
Wait, but you need someone who's got like all the knowledge, so I should definitely be there. So,
and you
I
need someone who knows what bands they're in and that.
Nah, we'll wing it. No, in all fairness, I don't know what, I mean, I guess I'll just host it, but I don't know about pedals and that. I'll just introduce everyone and be like, yeah, there you go.
What you always do.
Yeah. You can make tea.
Yeah, fine. I can do that. I'll just introduce it, leave you for like 2 hours, something like that. Walk off
while you play. Bring some FIFA. Tea.
Yeah, I'll just. I've got
maybe what you should do is you should play a real time game of FIFA.
A full 90 minutes. You can't actually do that on FIFA.
Can you not?
No, 25 minute halves is the longest.
Wow, that's weird.
I'll play some Super Mario Maker, some levels and stuff. Cool. Well, that'll be fun. I hope he comes on. It is worth saying that he did a podcast with you guys for the Guitar Shop podcast.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah, we did a little one. Yeah, we did a sort of short podcast.
So that'd be worth checking out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When's that coming out?
That will be up in the next day or so, as soon as I remember what I did with the H6 that we record on.
Yeah. Cool, excellent.
Good news. I'm glad you're so with it.
Yeah, it's great.
Good. Should we do some news?
News.
Okay, first up, PRS Guitars unveiled the 2015 collection Series 9. Matt Knight, have you got some deets on this?
Yeah, so basically every year since about 2001, although they've done other things before that, they design a super limited run of private stock guitars that basically take all the best resources that PRS have got and make them into one super fancy instrument. So this one is basically like a McCarty Trem model, but it's like designed to the extreme. So it's got flame maple neck, which is stained to the same colour as the guitar front. So it's kind of like, imagine having like the super flame of like a 58 or a 59 Les Paul, but on the back. And the back plate and the trem cavity plate are also made of the same quilt maple that's made from the top and stained the same colour. Custom inlays, custom fretboard, custom fretboard inlays and an inlay on the neck heel, gold tuners, and then they're only making 15 worldwide that have already been distributed to a set amount of dealers. So it's basically like, apart from going for a one-off private stock, it's the most limited PRS that you can effectively buy.
That's even more limited than the Pauls range they did. What was that? Was it the Pauls 23?
Paul's 28.
28
of those.
How many of these are there?
15.
Okay, wow. I didn't realise that. I thought they'd done more than the Paul series. Only one colour, isn't there? Aren't they all purple or something?
They're like, I don't know what because they always come up with new colours. I don't know what the official colour is, but it's like a really dark ocean blue.
Okay.
But the way they stain their tops, like, it just brings out so much of the flame and the quilt. And it's amazing, really, because from when I went to the factory and I was talking to the Gibson factory, I was talking to the guys about maple tops, and they were saying you can pick out an amazing bit that's just a block that looks awesome, but it's also about the flame along the side, because actually some of them look really good on top, when you carve it you actually lose all of the quality of the maple because it doesn't actually run straight through the tree.
Sure.
So like they really go all out on their tops. It's like, it's pretty nuts, like to find not only to get the top but then to match the back plate as well. It's like a really, really like crazy collector's piece,
and all gold hardware as well, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, gold saddles, screws, pickups, and pickup covers basically. Oh, and machine heads.
Blingy McBlingerson is basically what we're saying.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So next up, BC Rich announces the NJ Retro series.
Why is this in our news section?
Because this is important. So
how is this important?
You know how you loved when BC Rich were like a big brand? You should be love this. It's like in the 70s, you love all that old nonsense. They're a bit like kooky, which is very much you.
Right.
You like Japanese stuff.
No, this is just, it just looks like the stuff that didn't sell in the early 80s.
So BC Rich have announced the new NJ series, which I believe are Japanese made, and they kind of hark back to their original designs. So they're doing a few different models. Is that a Warrior, that one?
That's the Warlock.
The Warlock, sorry. Yeah, Warlock. There's a V. There's all the BC Rich shapes that you'd expect, only in two colours, red or cherry sunburst. Which
I'm not really into the sunburst, I've got to be honest.
No, I think sunburst looks bad.
Yeah.
Because it's neck. Because it's neck through, it's like it's been joined really badly.
Yeah, I'm not really into the sunburst. I think the Ferrari red. I like Ferrari red. I think that's a cool colour. I think Ferrari. What?
I'm telling you to go near your mic.
Oh, sorry. I like the Ferrari. I think Ferrari. Oh my god. I really like that shade of red. I think it looks really nice, but yeah, I'm not really into the sunburst. I think the sunburst, you've got to do it right. It's got to be done proper.
Yeah. And it's a weird, it goes to like, they call it cherry sunburst pearl, which I imagine it's like a sort of a sparkly finish. Yeah, I imagine it's slightly metallic, but it's weird. It goes to like a purple around the edge rather than a cherry. It's weird. The red looks way better.
The red looks really good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of into these. I've got a little soft spot for the BC Rich stuff, particularly like the Mockingbird, right, which I think actually isn't a bad guitar design at all. The problem with BC Rich recently is I think they've focused way too much on the low end. They've been making like those Gunslinger retros and things like that, which are kind of, what are they, sub £300?
Oh, something like that.
They might even be sub £200. It's good to see them going back and doing some more kind of high-end stuff.
They appear to be... Is that like a heritage headstock?
It is.
Well?
That's like the original headstock design.
That's quite nice.
It's super 70s, but I think it's better than the kind of 80s logo that they use on most of their stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the Mockingbird. I think the Mockingbird is an all right guitar. As long as it's hardtail and as long as it's not a ridiculous headstock, because the headstock just is, it's going to get damaged.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing when you kind of work in, when you're in a position where you're sending guitars here, there and everywhere for like retail, you notice that guitars that go to a real thin point tend to get damaged.
Yeah.
You could wrap it up, you know, in layers and layers and layers of bubble wrap and put as much protection on it as possible. If it just gets a knock in the wrong way, those bits of the wood are so thin.
Yeah, it's going over.
It's going to come off. So something like the Mockingbird, I think, is a kind of better design, really.
Yeah, no, I don't mind the Mockingbird. I don't like that colour.
They do in red as well.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Joe Branton, you've got some news about TC Electronic RS115 bass cabs. Brand new.
Well, yeah, it is brand new. I think we are sort of scraping the barrel for news at the moment. I mean,
There's loads of news.
I just meant with this sort of particular one. I mean, it's literally an update. The RS series is something TC have done for a long time.
Have they always done a 15, though?
No, they've never done a 15.
Okay.
Which is interesting. So this is a new edition, but they break their series down into their B series. They've recently introduced the K series, which is the 50s looking speed striped one, and their RS series, which is extremely lightweight. They have like custom built Eminent speakers in them, and they're their top line of cabs, and normally it's like 210s and 212s, because of course TC are really focused on making tiny amps that can do all situations. They're sort of after Mark Bass's sort of mantle.
Yeah, they ideally only want you to take one cab and then two cabs for a big gig. But.
Exactly. So, and exactly how, I mean, they've made it 8 ohms still, so you can still get a couple. Okay. The dimensions of it actually mean that it doesn't sit with the rest of their series, because
I find that really annoying.
Yeah, you could only partner it with another 15.
Yeah, that's annoying.
That's very odd.
Yeah, it is a bit. Well, I use two 15s, but the sort of players who use this aren't going to.
No, I just mean that they don't match up.
No, yeah, weird.
It's but OCD triggering.
I think really, even though it's 8 ohms, I think really it's designed to be used on its Todd.
Yeah.
It's quite a large cabinet for the RS series. They normally make them very, very slim and small and very tight around the speaker. There's actually quite a lot of room around this one. It kind of reminds me of when Ashdown just couldn't be asked to put their 115 in a different cabinet to their 410, so they just put it in the middle with loads of room around it. It's not quite as bad as that, but there is quite a lot of room around the 15-inch speaker. But I mean, it looks great. Their stuff is good. It's dead simple. It's 600 watts, 8 ohms. If you want something, it's going to be ridiculously lightweight. If you want something that's really reliable, rugged, and is going to be loud enough to take a decent head and play.
I didn't realise that with the classic 450, RH450 and the RH750, you can actually have three cabs in at once.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I was just having a look on the TC website. So you could actually combine a 210, a 212, and a 115, or like a 410, a 115, and like a 112.
So maybe the reason that the 15 is wider is you get two of them, then you sit a 2-10 on top.
On its side.
On its side, and then put the head on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
Like Lego.
That would be ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, it's a relatively uninteresting announcement, but still sort of like a cool amp. And it's nice to see a 15 come about, because I love 15s, and I think the sort of mini amp thing that has sort of taken the bass world at the moment is so obsessed with 10-inch speakers.
Yeah.
That it's just nice to see a cool 15-inch cab. But yeah, relatively uninteresting release from TC.
One of the releases that came through this week isn't actually news as such, because it's not an announcement, but it's actually filling in some details. We finally know a bit more about the Electro-Harmonix Key 9. Matt Knight, we talked about this a few weeks ago, that Electro-Harmonix had released a picture of the Key 9, and obviously falls in line with the B9 and C9 they've already released. What's on the Key 9?
So the Key 9 is an electric piano machine.
Sure.
So rather than the B9 and C9 that kind of do various different sort of classic organ sounds, this one does all the electric piano sounds and steel drums.
It does steel drums?
It does steel drums,
well,
yeah.
Why wouldn't it?
I mean, the one sound that you want. I think it's... like I watched the demo that... Electro-Harmonix put up, and I think it's the best sounding out of the whole bunch.
I kind of want it, because it's just so mad. Like, I think the other two obviously are great pedals. They're trying to emulate the sound of something or some organs that are very specific. I kind of want to play steel drums on my guitar.
I think the thing is as well, though, it's like with this one, the sounds are a bit more subtle and there's a little bit more modulation. So where you plug in like a B9 and your guitar just sounds like this really like big, like vintage church organ, you don't get much of the guitar signal coming through, and this, it's a little bit more subtle and it sits in the background, because with the B9 and C9 you have to play more like you'd play an organ.
Sure. So if you want some steel drums to go along with your shred solo,
yeah,
then this one you can have that.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds all right.
That sounds pretty awesome.
I'm totally into that.
Yeah, it does sound really, really good. I was really impressed. I mean, all the Electro-Harmonix video demos, that guy, I think his name's Bill Rupert, who does all those, like, he really knows how to get the best out of, like, all of those units.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing a Key 9. I've not actually listened to the demo yet, but it just sounds so mad. And it's so weird that they've gone so far down this rabbit hole, like, three different pedals to things.
I think as well, one thing that obviously we don't really cover, but what's really clever about them is they work really well for keyboards.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so if you've got like a Pony Casio like keyboard or something,
you can plug into this.
Yeah.
I've actually seen a video demo of a guy plugging into a tiny like 100 quid old Casio kids keyboard through a B9, and it sounded absolutely amazing.
Do you think you could mic up what are those things called?
One of those things.
What are those things called?
One of the old blowy keyboards.
Things? That's the thing with the tube.
A kazoo.
No, the
old blowy keyboard. Melodica.
A melodica.
I think you could like mic up a melodica
and then run that through. Actually, it's funny. I suddenly thought the other day, you remember the old Electro-Harmonix Iron Lung?
Yeah.
There was a guy, who played guitar in a band that we know, Enos from Brighton, and he was, instead of using it on vocals, he was miking up his guitar cab and then running that through the Iron Lung, so it's like feeding the sound back through itself.
That's so weird.
To give you like this weird like digitized like robot guitar sound, which I thought quite a cool idea.
I really wanted one of those pedals at one point. It's when I heard someone do the Transformers theme tune and sing along, and it sounded like the Transformers. So good. A bit of news close to, well, both yours, Joe, and Matt's hearts. Hovercraft have announced a brand new amp, the Caribou. Joe, do you want to tell us about it?
Hovercraft have had sort of quite a set range of things that they do. They tend to release amplifiers in small batches, and things like the Dwarvenaut 20, which they've done before, which I've got now, which used to be Matt's, they do it in batch runs of around 50, between 50 and a couple of hundred, and they normally sell out within the hour of them announcing.
It's crazy.
So they did really well. They've tried something different though with the Hovercraft Caribou. They've released it as a Kickstarter campaign.
So what's the story, Matt? And you'll probably be able to answer this. From what I understood, Hovercraft, don't they take like old amps and then like reuse them in some way?
Yeah, basically they were actually taking some common, a lot of the ones that Joe's got, the Dwarvenor and the Falcon, are actually a more common amplifier that you can buy that they then completely mod. Then they also do some limited ones where they buy old amplifiers and they do them back up. The Caribou is actually built from scratch, so it's a completely custom model. It's like all the voice and everything is designed by them.
Hence the Kickstarter campaign.
I was going to say, yeah. So how's that working? What are they asking for, and what do you get?
Well, you can have complete from the ground up customization of the Caribou.
Okay.
I believe it's supposed to be like a matte amp orange style thing. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, that's where all of those ones sort of come from, really. That's sort of vintage, sort of really fuzzy Doom-like amplifier. Basically, it was because the Kickstarter was a few months ago, and it was to kind of do the first initial run, and they've kind of set it up and designed it and everything, and now they're basically putting it into standard production. So you can, the nice thing about with all the Hovercraft amps is you can change all the specs, you can pick all the colours, and that changes all the time, especially with things like Tolex, depending on what they've actually got in stock. So every amp comes out like slightly individual, which is awesome.
Good stuff.
Yeah, they've split the kicks. This is such a great way to do amps. So they've split it up so you've got like an entry level thing, which is $970. And that will get you the Bobber, which is a 50 watt version of the Caribou. Then you can pay just under $1,200 to get the standard two channel amp with a matching foot switch. And there are a few things that you can customize: your choice of Tolex, your choice of knobs, your choice of faceplate color, then it sort of goes up with more and more options, and then things like mercury magnetics loaded in. I don't know what that means, but yeah, they're
transformers.
Sweet. So it just looks like everything ascends.
You just get more stuff.
Yeah,
basically.
More customizable stuff. Yeah. The more money you spend. That's a great way for a custom amp company to do business, because it just gives you kind of so much choice on stuff without them having to make everything first.
One last bit of news this week, and this is a bit of a weird one. Analog Alien, who are a company I've not heard of before, have launched the Joe Walsh Double Classic pedal, Joe Walsh's first ever signature model. Signature pedal. Matt, you did a bit of reading on this one. What did you uncover?
Yeah, well, basically, Analog Alien, and I've heard of them before. They've only got a couple of products. Started off doing something called, I think it was the Fuzz Bubble 45,
okay.
Which was like a
of course,
which was like a dual overdrive, and it was like a high watt on one side, and then like a Marshall on the other, if I remember rightly, something similar to that. Most of their ones are like weird sort of double pedal combinations.
Sure.
And this one is like a custom designed overdrive, or like a classic amp sound, and a compressor in one. Compressor switchable between pre or post drive, so you can kind of get some varying results with that. And yeah, it looks really cool. I'd like to try and see if I can track one down and have a go on it. I'm not sure what the classic amp is actually based on, because I don't know what he's using now as an amplifier, so I don't know if it's based on like an old Fender or
what did he traditionally use.
Do you know what, I'm not 100% whether it was a Marshall, whether it was something else. I can't quite remember what he used, because I think now he uses Dr. Z.
Okay.
But so I would imagine it's kind of based on some sort of Marshall-y sort of amp, and then like a classic sort of three band compressor. What have you got? Sensitivity and ratio, and then an output control. So actually probably more like an old MXR Dynacomp.
Okay, that sounds like a really, really cool pedal.
Yeah. It looks like he uses high watts, so I'd imagine, yeah, it's based on that. High watts, and of course a Roland JC120.
Oh yeah, of course. Is the drive going to be based on the JC120 drive, right?
Yeah, the worst drive of all time.
imagine if Boss just put that out as a pedal. Yeah, it's like the JC120 drive.
Classic. We've released our classic drive. Actually, talking of drive, there was one other pedal that came out this week, which was sort of hidden under the radar, but someone on Guitar Nerds actually posted it up. From JHS pedals called the Muffuletta, which is basically every single variant of Big Muff in a single pedal that's no digital modelling. It's six circuits built into one standard size pedal.
How much is that?
$225, so about £150.
Yeah, that's roughly what even a Russian Big Muff would cost.
Yeah. So it's basically you've got Russian Big Muff. The classic sort of op amp Big Muff, which is like the late 70s one, the Ram's Head, the Triangle, and then they've got their own design in there as well. So if you kind of want a little bit of everything that's ever come out, that's pretty amazing. And yeah, it's got a Russian Big Muff in there as well, which is obviously one of those ones that's going up in value for some bizarre reason. But
I saw a picture
of
one. I
still had mine.
Yeah, I know. I saw a picture of one the other day and I was just like, I need to get one again.
The green ones were definitely the best ones. Yeah. They did the black are okay, but the green ones are the ones to have for that massive industrial switch on it.
Yeah, that's the one that everyone wants. The black ones, I think, in terms of value for money, they're probably a bit better because they haven't quite reached the $100 yet, I don't think.
No, but they are going that way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I wish I'd kept mine. So annoying. Oh, well, we're nearly up to the hour mark, so how about we roll questions over into the bonus Patreon episode?
Let's do it.
We've got questions coming up from James, who's got a question about strings, Steve, who's got a question about P90s, Jack, who talks about recovering a Blues Junior, Richard, who wants to talk about the new Yamaha THR-100 head.
Can we talk about that now? I think that's one that people should talk about, cause it's kind of news as well.
It is kind of new. It's sort
go
of
on,
news.
Go on, let's squeeze it in.
Okay, well, why don't we say now that the final news item is that there's a Yamaha TH100 head, and we'll give our impressions of it over in this week's Patreon episode.
Okay.
Thanks so much for listening this week. If you do want to get the extra Patreon content, at least half an hour's worth every week, head over to patreon.com/guitarnerds. These people have done so. A small donation means that they're our Patreon, executive producers,
executive
I guess.
Producers,
and we're running 100%. Out of slots. I saw we had another person sign up, so we've got only 8 slots left or something. $10 a month gets you the extra half an hour plus bonus stuff, and you get your name read out on the podcast.
That's like £6 at the moment, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
£6 a week. £6
a month. Yeah.
£1.50 a week.
Yeah, I think that when we worked it out, it was like £1.54 a week. So.
I spend more than that on avocado.
Good. Joe, do you want to read out the Patreon backers?
Sure.
So we need to come up with a song. How about...
Paul Corrigan. Dale Resco. Jack Conroy. Wilker. Chris Wilson. Scott O'Brien. Matt Ryan. Fletcher. Phil Thompson. Moo Gravit. Colin Anderson.
Good. Thanks very much for that.
You sound like Bat Dad. Is that what you're going for? No, you go for Batman or you go for Bat Dad?
It was a little bit of Bat Dad, a little bit of Tom Waits. It was,
I normally, that sort of like quirky internet stuff really...
Bat Dad?
Just that sort of stuff like really does my head in. But I absolutely love Bat Dad.
Bat Dad is great.
I think
he is
like one of the best internet people at the moment. He's so good.
We're gonna miss the bus
because all the stuff he puts up as well is like stuff with his kids taking the piss out of him.
Yeah, they think it's rubbish.
Think it's rubbish, and he's been doing it for like months and months and months, but he keeps... it was kind of like this, really.
Yeah,
like,
you know. We just keep hammering this nonsense home. More of this nonsense over in the Patreon episode, or you can join us on the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitarnerdsforum. You can join us on Twitter @guitarnerds. Come over to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/guitarnerdsvideos. Although I noticed, now if you just go to youtube.com/guitarnerds, that takes you to the channel. I think YouTube have bumped us up somehow. I just touched it by accident.
Nice.
It is nice. So yeah, youtube.com/guitar nerds will also take you there.
Wow, that's good.
You can follow me on Twitter at @mark_random. You can follow Matt at @matt_nightsy. Follow Jay at @jaybn1 and Joe at @joseph_900. We'll see you next week, or we'll see you on the Patreon episode if you wish to do so.
Thanks a lot.
I am Batman. Cheers.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.